When you hear that song, when the saints go marching in, and you're in the South, you know it's time for a funeral. And Southern funerals are meant to be enjoyed. It's not just the music, it's the food. Greenville, Mississippi resident Charlotte Hayes says you can't bury a self-respecting Southerner without certain foods. Foods like tomato aspic with homemade mayonnaise, or Aunt Hebe's coconut cake. Hayes is co-author of a cookbook called Being Dead is No Excuse, the official Southern Lady's Guide to Hosting the Perfect Funeral.
It's your last big party, and our book is about how to get it right. And of course, you'll have to depend on your family to get it right for you. But I'll tell you one thing that's special about a Southern funeral is the food. We talk about in the book this lady who died in California, and she called somebody at home and said, you know, the worst thing about Andy's death was missing the food. And of course, I miss Andy, too.
Well, and you say in the very beginning that the Southern funeral is one of the three times a Southern lady gets out the good silver in China.
Right. You get it out for a christening, for a wedding, and for a death. And the one thing I want to say is funerals bring out the very best in people. Weddings bring out the very worst. You've got too much time to plan for a wedding. Not that you don't plan for your funeral. I mean, I'm constantly reviewing the music that I intend to use. I think very rarely does a Southerner get much past 35 without starting to plan this all-important event. You know, you want to get it right. We had a friend's mother who, the funeral's described in this book, who left behind directions to be laid out on the formal dining room table. And in her funeral direction, she kept describing herself as poor dead me. The other thing you got to know about the funeral is if you're looking at ladies' tombstones, don't pay any attention to the date. We lie about our age in life and in death. A Southern lady, you know, the idea of an open coffin visitation makes her want to look real nice.
Now, you said, as a matter of fact, some of the people you've seen in the open coffin visitations looked better than you ever remembered them seeing.
Oh, absolutely. In Greenville, we always say that Billy Boone, actually we call him in the book Bubba Boone, because we don't want anybody to know who he is. He's the undertaker, or he was until he himself passed into glory. But anyway, we always said that he could make you look better than any plastic surgeon in the country, but there was a hitch. You had to be dead. I know when my mother died, I said, Mr. Boone, Mama always said you're going to make it look pretty as a package, and you have. And he just tittered with happiness.
Now, in the Delta, you're either a Methodist or an Episcopalian. You say the Episcopalians have better funerals, but the Methodists make better food, right?
Oh, well, yes. The Methodists cooking is the motherlode of funeral cooking. One of the things we found that we had not expected was that the Methodist ladies and the Episcopal ladies are very competitive about their dishes. Now, funeral food is Campbell's cream of mushroom soup and Velveeta based. It's basically a Methodist cuisine with an overlay of Episcopal dishes such as tomato aspic with homemade mayonnaise. We almost call this book Being Dead is No Excuse for Store-Bought Mayonnaise. It's the Methodist cooking, the casseroles, that's the dominant food for funerals. In fact, the founder of Greenville was a Methodist lady. Gotta tell you, all her descendants are Episcopalians, but she was a Methodist lady named Mrs. Thibble, Harriet Blanton Thibble, and she was the mother of Greenville because she gave land to rebuild the town after hostilities I will not mention. But Gayden and I, my co-author, decided that she should not only be known as the mother of Greenville, she should be known as the mother of the covered dish casserole, because that's what Methodists bring to funerals. If you see a lot of covered dish casseroles, you know a Methodist has died, and in fact, one of the recipes in the book, one of the favorites, is the Methodist lady's chicken lasagna Florentine.
Oh.
It's really good, and it may kill you. I wanted to sort of tell people what's the real difference between a Southern Episcopalian and a Southern Methodist. So could I read about a paragraph on that?
Oh, sure. Go ahead.
Okay. Southern Episcopalians wear their devoutness lightly. That is one reason they excel at funerals. They have a knack of comfortably mixing the formal and the casual, the proper and relaxed, or perhaps the proper and the highly improper. Nowhere has this sensibility been better summed up than in the immortal words of Anne Dudley Hunt. Of course, she was Anne Dudley something else at the time. One Easter even, that's Episcopalian for the day before Easter, Anne Dudley was hobbling around the kitchen, bravely dyeing Easter eggs, despite her knees, which were bruised black and blue. I just don't know, Anne Dudley said. Did I hurt my knees yesterday afternoon doing the Stations of the Cross? Or did I do it last night, falling down drunk? That, in a nutshell, is Southern Episcopalianism. Now, to her credit, Anne Dudley remains a loyal daughter of St. James, even though the bishop put his foot down and flatly refused to let her have her fourth wedding there. The fifth time, she was too proud to ask. And that's the Southern Episcopalian.
I can hardly wait to get to the Methodist now.
Well, now they, since they're in the Delta, they're sort of part Methodist and part Delta, which means they do like to have a drink. But it wouldn't be permissible, for example, for somebody to pass out on Christmas Eve drunk at the Methodist Church, we do believe. And that happens in Greenville, at the Episcopal Church.
Yeah. Now, are there some considerations that you have to take into account? I mean, there must be some foods that would not quite be proper for a funeral reception.
Absolutely, absolutely. You would never bring marinated ripe olives to a funeral reception. It's too much like a cocktail party. Ditto hot feta cheese artichoke dip, not for funerals. Let me tell you, the main thing about funeral food is it's supposed to bring you comfort. It's not supposed to be sophisticated like marinated olives or big shrimp. These are sophisticated dishes you might want on some really festive, in a different way, occasion. You want a lot of carbs, you want a lot of Velveeta, you want a lot of breadcrumbs, you want a lot of sour cream blended in it. You want things that are comfortable. And there are a lot of food snobs around, and, you know, they want hummingbird tongue on toast. But even those people at a funeral give in, and they love the goo.
Yeah.
They love the comfort.
I think we all like the goo and the comfort if we're honest about it.
Well, we always say that for whom the bell tolls, when somebody dies in Greenville, it tolls for me, and it says open a can of cream of mushroom soup and start cooking.
And then there is the really important question. It's so important you hardly want to deal with it, and that's the question of whether they're stuffed eggs or deviled eggs.
Yes, we say stuffed eggs, and Yankees say deviled eggs, and there's sort of a sub-feud over that as to whether you want savory or sweet. I happen to prefer savory. I hope I haven't alienated anyone. But we give recipes for both kinds. And the other thing you have to have at a funeral is the South's version of pâté. This is pimento cheese. There's just nothing like a silver plate stacked high with pimento cheese sandwiches. You absolutely have to make them very delicate with the crust cut off, or people will talk bad about you.
You know, we haven't talked at all really about the services. At one point you said that part of the pleasure of being in an Episcopalian service is that they don't do eulogies. But don't you want people to say something nice about you?
Well, let me just tell you, at the St. James Episcopal Church, they put something in the bulletin and it says that they don't do eulogies because God doesn't need to be reminded about the person. And I got to tell you, neither does the congregation. Then there is nothing worse than some sort of nudge-provoking eulogy. You know, you're talking about what an upstanding citizen Mr. Jones was, and everybody's sitting there saying, yeah, he was a big fanny pincher, and it's lucky he didn't end up in jail. So I think it's better without the eulogy. It's better to focus on general themes, and you can get home and talk about the dead. It's better with a cocktail in your hand, because if you start laughing, people will think you're drunk rather than that Mr. Jones was a fanny pincher.
Charlotte Hayes is co-author of the cookbook called Being Dead is No Excuse, the official Southern Lady's Guide to Hosting the Perfect Funeral.